And good evening and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you from a beautiful radio ranch today on this September 20th, 2018. And oh, we welcome you here. It's been a beautiful day here and into a beautiful evening. And again, we thank you for joining us here on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, the Saint-sponsored network. We are here because you allow us to be with your tithes and your donations and your prayers and your faithful offerings. And so we thank you for that. I thank you for that. I thank you that you allow us to be about the Father's business, to encourage one another to love and good deeds, to spread the gospel message of Jesus Christ, the truth of the Word, into the lies of the world. Because that's what the world is. When it parts from the Word, it is lies. Well, have a few current events wanted to talk to you about tonight. And a couple things that caught my eye, I thought I'd share them with you. Just as the times that we're in, Shakespeare or Dickens, one of them said, I think it was Dickens, the best of times, the worst of times. And that certainly describes our time today, our land today. And we'll get into that. Let's start out with a word of prayer before we go much further. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day of life you've given us, Lord. Thank you for the ability to get up and see the sunrise this morning, Lord, and the sunset this evening, and all that came in between. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who for the joy set before him, while we were yet sinners, went to the cross to carry our burden, to carry our sin, to carry our sicknesses, and to bear them all, and then to die for our sins. And then, O Lord, to overcome that death. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb of God. And I thank you for that, Father. Guide and direct me this evening. Bless, Lord, bless me. Bless the remnant out there that are tuned in. Father, I thank you for this time of fellowship, this ability to speak with the remnant, Lord, to read from your word, to go get into your word, Lord, and to be blessed. Father, help me to encourage the remnant to love and good deeds in all that we do, Lord, not just this tonight, but in all that we think, in all that we say, in all that we do. And we give you all the praise and glory for it, Lord. Thank you for our pastor, Lord, that had the foresight to build this ministry, Lord, and build it on the rock of Jesus Christ. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord. Worthy is the Lamb. Help us, O Father, to continue to build upon this foundation. Lord, to continue to reach this next generation with the new promises that you have every day, Lord, the new promises that were written down thousands of years ago, but that apply today as much as they ever have. Help us to have the words to speak, Lord, and open the minds and the eyes and the ears of your people out there, Lord, that they would see and that they would hear the truth of the gospel and that they would repent and return to you. That is our desire, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this opportunity. Lord, I pray also for our leaders. I pray, Lord, for our local leaders here in this county, here in our city, in our state, Lord, in all the states. I pray that your remnant would pray for their leaders as well. I pray for our leaders, Lord, in the national government, Lord, on the national scene, in the federal government, that Father, they would look to you for healing. They would look to you for direction and for wisdom and guidance in making the decisions that they have been tasked with making. And Holy Spirit, I ask you to come and to be upon our nation, to be upon our nation's leaders. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, both known and unknown, and help us to get back on that road to loving you again, to obeying you again. Lord, we know that is key to our survival, Lord, not only as individuals but as a nation. So Father, I pray for I pray for our president, for our vice president, Lord, that your protection would be upon him, your guidance would be upon him. Father, we don't know what you have in store. But Lord, we are told to pray for our kings and for those in authority. And so, Father, in obedience, not fully understanding it, but Lord, we do. We do. We pray for your protection and your guidance and your wisdom and your discernment to be upon our leaders and your protection. Father, I do pray for our church. I pray for our local church, Lord, that you would continue to let it be a lighthouse, Lord, that you would continue to let us feed your sheep and shine this light of the gospel, this good news, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That you would let us continue to shout this from the rooftops, Lord, to all that will listen and even to some that won't, but we'll shout it to them anyway, Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory for this, Lord. You who came and walked on this earth as a sinless man, our perfect example. And in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen and amen. Well, tons going on in the land today. Got this email it was in the Telegraph over in the Church of England, saying that these bishops, these female bishops, this antichrist, ungodly, unbiblical so-called church, and it truly is just Baal and Ashtoreth worship, Church of England should avoid only calling God a he, says this female bishop. The retired Reverend Rachel Treweek, Bishop of Gloucester, Church of England's first female diocesan bishop, says, I don't want young girls or young boys to hear us constantly refer to God as he, adding that it was important to be, quote, mindful of our language. Now, this is how we wonder why the European nations are being overrun with a Muslim invasion, why the locust of Joel are devastating the European countries. Yeah, we know that Britain is pulled out. We had the Brexit. We talked about that, the Britain exit from the EU and from the Euro a year or two ago. They're still going through the process. We know about that. But this, I think this reflects the lackadaisical, the other gospel that the church is teaching on. This is one of the reasons that church membership in the UK is at an all-time low, because they are putting out this mamby-pamby, pathetic, antichrist, female deity-worshipping religion that is not Christianity. Oh, the Most High retired Reverend first female diocesan bishop Rachel is concerned that non-Christians can feel alienated from the church if it only uses male language to describe God. Well, as a Christian, I feel alienated if you don't address God the Father as a he and Jesus Christ the Son as a he, because that's what they are. We are made in his image, male and female. Also, the retired Reverend Dr. Joe Bailey Wells, Bishop of Dorking over in England, says the tendency to use male language was a growing problem as language use in general became more gender balanced. Well, see, that's the enemy's plan. The enemy thinks generationally, and so all this gender neutral BS that you see in our country, and this coming from the church who is supposed to be the religious leaders and supposed to point out sin to people. And no, they just tell people, whatever you do is fine. Yes, just send us a little money, and whatever you do is fine. That's what this UK Church of England is saying. It is war, folks. I hope you understand that it is war against the Father and the Son. We see it in full swing across the pond. We see it here as well. They go on and say when they lead in prayers, they try to avoid using his or him too often. No academic theologian in the UK would objectively say that God is male. Well, I'm not an academic theologian, and I'm not in the UK. I'm here in the United States, and I'm a male follower of Jesus Christ, who was a man. And I will say that God is male because He created us in His image. And then He created woman out of man. We read that in the Word. That has not changed in 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 years or however long it's been. It has not changed. But the church world promotes another gospel. We are warned to not fall and not be bewitched and not follow another gospel. These teachings of the false church, whether it's over there or in your neighborhood, are just that. They are false teachings. I hope you recognize that. That's one of the reasons I bring this up, because that is what they are. I hope you see that. I do. Had a shooting in Maryland today. Don't have all the details. Multiple people shot and killed. Not sure what's going on there. I would ask you to pray for the remnant. Pray for the people there that don't know anybody that's involved. But I would just, you know, many times when we see these things, we are to groan and sigh out. We become so calloused at times at the way of the world, at the sin that's in the world, at the murder and the violence, and just the overall sin. I know I find myself coming that way at times. And so let us not forget, the Bible tells us to do not grow weary of doing good. And when we see this type of sin, we can pray. You know, we're not expected to fix the world. We are not expected by God to create world peace. We are not expected by God, more than likely, to go in front of our president and to explain, you know, what he's doing right and what he's doing wrong. God will probably not call us individually to do that. And we can't do that. But we can do some things. And when we see things like this shooting, when we see the crime that's in the land, and yes, I know what most of the crime is, and I know who commits most of the crime and where it's committed. I understand that. But we can pray. Let it not have to happen to our family, to your family, before you can be driven to prayer for that, before you can be driven to seek God and seek His intercession and pray for these people that are affected. Pray for them. Do you think, remember, Jesus talks about the Tower of Siloam that fell and killed the people. And he said, do you think that they were any more guilty than you? And so let us have a soft heart and eyes that see. And if we will do our best to see these things and to pray for people in these unfortunate situations, I think God will allow us to grow. We will grow. We will grow in our knowledge, grow in our understanding, and we will grow in our compassion. And folks, we all need to grow in those areas. Whether you're 15 or 55 or 95, we do. We do. Well, Hurricane Florence rolled ashore last week. We've talked about that a little bit. And we've certainly had our prayers. We've heard, I think there's been, what, over 20 people, 20 deaths attributed to it as it dropped down to a tropical storm, and then as it even dropped lower than that, but just dumped unbelievable amounts of water that it has dumped. One thing I noticed, and I thought I saw this on the SFAW Newswire. If not, I'll try to send it to Jason to get it posted up there, but several nuclear energy plants, where's this one at? In Kinston, North Carolina, breaches not only of nuclear power plants with this flooding, but that is an issue that is coming up that even now is developing. Declaring, they call them first level emergencies, just because they don't have complete access to them. But they have things like this coal ash site just outside of Kinston, North Carolina, has been flooded. And so these are sites that have waste from these coal power plants and nuclear power plants. And so they're flooding out. And one of the headlines was, we're only now beginning to see the full scope of the storm's danger. Duke Energy's Brunswick nuclear plant outside of Florence, South Carolina, has been flooded and is basically cut off. They've had helicopters flying. They have an emergency standby crew that they have in these places. And so they are there sleeping on cots with porta potties and food that's been brought them to them. And so they, because it takes a while to shut these plants down. And so they go into shutdown mode. Well, that's a multi-day. If you've been listening in on the broadcast, I think Saturday morning Jason was talking about that. It takes days for these plants to shut down. And the plant here in Brunswick, near the town of Southport, that's south of Wilmington, it is very similar to the plant, to the nuclear reactor at Fukushima in Japan. And so certainly not having the problems that Fukushima's had, at least haven't been reported, but they are in the process of shutting them down, and it takes a while. And so they're reporting that because the water is well above flood stage, you know, they know that had 3 and 4 feet of rain in these areas. The rivers have flooded, and so... I ask you as well, there's still thousands, tens of thousands of people without power, hundreds of thousands of people without power, tens of thousands of people still out of their homes, in shelters. Showed a picture of a couple of those on Sunday morning on the review of the news this last week. And, you know, these people did not plan before this hurricane and flooding came on. They weren't planning on spending a week or two in a high school gymnasium, sleeping on a cot, and eating the kind of food that's provided there. They weren't planning on that. And so again, I encourage you to keep these people that are put out of their homes, keep them in your prayers. The people that are rebuilding, the emergency responders, the firemen, the policemen, the EMTs, the Cajun Navy, the local volunteers. Keep them in your prayers. What would happen if the thousands, not even tens of thousands, just hundreds of thousands of people, of Christians in this country, will pray for this? And so I hope that you do. I hope that you do pray for these people. They are in need. Now, you know, are every one of them baptized, repentant Christians that pronounce the name of Jesus Christ just right and know exactly how to pray? No, they're not. They're lost sheep without a shepherd. They have lost their shepherd, and they have been thrown into turmoil by the storms of life. So don't throw them out. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Pray for these people. Pray for the people helping them. That's what I hope you'll do. What I hope you'll do. Got a song? Be right back.
When you feel like there's a sign there on your back, says I don't mind if you kick me, seems like everybody has. Things go from bad to worse, you think they can't get worse than that, and then they do. You step off the straight and narrow and you don't know where you are. Use the needle of your compass to sew up your broken heart. Ask directions from a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out. For the devil even knows you're there.
my last match. Felt 100 different demons breathing fire down my back. And I knew that if I stumbled, I'd fall right into the trap that they were laying. Yeah. But the good news is there's angels everywhere out on the street, holding out a hand to pull you back up on your feet. The ones that you've been dragging for so long, you're on your knees, you might as well be praying. Guess what I'm saying, if you're going through hell, keep on going, don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show it, you might get out, or the devil even knows you're there. Yeah, if you're going through hell, keep on moving, face that fire, walk right through it, you might.
Find yourself going through hell, do that. Just keep on going. Get up, put one foot in front of the other. Don't slow down. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop doing the things that have allowed you to get through it so far. And many times we find that. We have troubles. We have trials. Maybe something that drives us to prayer, that drives us to obedience in God. And the blessings start, things start to turn around. The blessings, whether they're health or material, they start to come in. We start getting that peace of mind. But many times people, then they turn away. And we don't want that to happen. So if you have drawn close to God, continue to do that. We encourage you to do that. We do. I want you to be, you know, these people in South Carolina, North Carolina, they were... They had opportunity, let me put it that way, to be prepared. Growing up in Florida, we're not unfamiliar with hurricanes. And as summer started coming in, you just had to stock up. You had to have water available. You had to have gas for your generator. You had to have your generator. You had to be prepared. You had food put up. Maybe you went and, you know, it's hot outside. You made sure you had a couple of propane bottles, those little 20-pounders for the grill so you could cook. And then if you did have a hurricane coming, you had the watches and the warnings, and then the runs started. You'd go out and get your coolers full of ice blocks and have them stored up, and you'd fill the gasoline up in your vehicles, and so you got prepared, so that if your power went out, if the electricity got turned off, if the gas company or the service stations, gasoline stations, didn't have power, that you could still function. You still had, some ice. Maybe you still had batteries for lights, that type thing. You know, I noticed that we've been out here out west 17 years. The winters out here are a little different than even when I lived in South Carolina. And so we prepare for the winter. We have plenty of wood cut up. We make sure that, you know, the insulation is good. The pipes are insulated. We double check the pump and the heated waterers that we have out for the livestock and the cattle, and We make sure we have hay to get the cattle through the winter, and our vehicles are good. The coolant and the antifreeze are up to date, and you have good tires. And so we know about this. We prepare physically for the things that we know are coming. Well, you know, we when we go to school, we have to be prepared for school. If we have a test or whatever it is. I have a daughter doing EMT class right now, and she's spending a lot of time preparing, a lot of time getting ready, being prepared for those quizzes, because it's new for her. And sometimes we have new things that come into our lives that we have to be prepared for. Some people are facing retirement. Some are preparing for that. They hope that it's coming. They know that it's coming, and they want to be ready, and we want to be ready for what is coming. What's coming in the physical? Who knows? We are already seeing civil unrest. We are seeing the left in a fit, in an outrage. I think last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, John mentioned and likened them to being like a cornered rat. That they are in a corner and they are striking out at anything and everything because they know they're cornered. They know their time is short. You know, a government shutdown is being threatened. Who knows? Oh, they got to get the budget passed. Have to make sure we get that done. We see floods in the Carolinas. Droughts out west. Massive fires. Record fires in California almost every year. You look at the drought map, the Four Corners area of the United States. Again, for months, it's had a big red drought. Severe drought on it, on the Four Corners area. And so the South... Western United States been in a drought, and so we see this going on. We're into fall now. As we see fall and winter approaching, we are to be physically prepared. We have to be like a good we need to be good Boy Scouts, right? Be prepared, be ready. And that doesn't mean just know something's coming, but be ready for it. But you know, we need to be spiritually prepared as well, and spiritually ready. In Luke 12, and that's part of our Bible reading today on this September 20th, 2018, Luke 11 and Luke 12, and then Isaiah 45 and 46. But in Luke 12, as I was reading this today, it kind of jumped off the page at me. And let's go to Luke 12, verse 35. And it says, "Be dressed in readiness." Well, you know, we have a society today that is trying to undress us. They're trying to make it. You see, the dress codes in schools are just going the byway. It's getting filthy. Even Fort Collins, I think they got it passed where women can now just walk around topless if that's what they want to do. Just like the jungle bunnies in Africa and the Aborigines in Australia. And I'm sorry if you don't like that terminology. Just the way it is. When I was growing up, just a few years ago, I'm only in my 50s. I remember that was how the savages and natives in deep, dark Africa dressed or didn't dress. They went around butt naked or bare naked anyway. And the Aborigines in Australia, that's how they did. And everybody else in the world wore clothes. But see, that has changed now. We have become undressed. Our nakedness has once again been exposed, and the people love to have it so. Crowds gather and cameras come out, oh boy, because our people wallow in sin. But Luke 12:35 says, "Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit." And this has a lot to do with being ready. Not that, you know, and I'm going to talk a little bit about, we know the day of the Lord is coming, and no man knows when it is. It could be today, or it could be years from now. No man knows. But we're to be ready and prepared for other things as well. Ready and prepared to give a defense of the gospel. The Bible tells us that. Now, does that mean that we have to live in the Word and just study the Word all the time and never do it? No, but we need to take our time. We need to study enough to show ourselves approved in whatever level that we can do that at. You never know when you're going to be faced with someone like these flood victims in the Carolinas, or a friend that loses a family member, and they're going to look to you for guidance. They might look to you to give them some words of comfort. Or a friend whose child turns away from them. And they come to you for understanding. What do I do? I thought I was doing the best I could. What do I do? Are you going to be ready? Are you dressed in readiness with your lamp lit? See, that lamp lit, I think, alludes to being that light that shines in the darkness. Now, during the daylight, you know, your flashlight, your headlights on your car, they might bring a little attention, but they don't do a whole lot of good in the daylight. But boy, when it gets dark, that light can be a lifesaver. And that's exactly what it is. We are to have our lamps lit so that we are and will be a beacon of hope. That as we talk about Christ living within us and shining through us, that's how we have to be in this dark world. That's how we have to be when we see this ungodly so-called church over in the UK saying, oh yes, we should not call God a he. Oh no, God is just an it. And it is he and she and blah, blah, blah. And they have this diary of the mouth. We need to be dressed in readiness and say, no, wait a minute. That's not what the word says. That's not Christianity. That's the Eastern religion. That is false religion. That's another gospel. Don't be taken in by that. See, we need to, even just a defense like that, to help keep the sheep on the straight and narrow. Maybe to turn a brother away from a sin. And we certainly do that, not because we hate them, but because we love them. And so, be dressed in readiness, it says, and keep your lamps lit. It goes on and says, be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Whether he comes in the second watch or even in the third and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. And you know, we are to be slaves to Christ. Because if we're not, we're slaves to sin. The Bible tells us that. We are one or the other. One or the other. We will fear and serve one or the other. Remember the Bible, it tells us we can't serve God and man. Can't do it. Because you'll love one and hate the other, or hate one and love the other. You can't serve both. You can't be the mugwump. You might think, lukewarm Christian, that you can sit on the fence. And then when the certain time of the year or certain time of your feelings, when the grass is green on this side of the fence, oh, well, I'll jump over there. Oh, yeah, this is fun here. I'll do this. And then you're back on the fence. And then maybe Sunday morning or some other time you might think, well, a trial or tribulation hit you. Well, now it's time to pray. I better pray now, man. I'm at the end of my rope. I better get back right with God. I better pray now. And you pray enough, you think, to get you by, and then you're back on the fence. And if you're doing that, you need to come down one side or the other. Because if you're sitting on that wood fence, you're going to get splinters. And if it's a barbed wire fence and you keep flip-flopping back over, you're going to get poked by that barbed wire. And it's not a way to be. It's not. We are to be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. The other thought that occurred to me is that we are to practice righteousness. See, that's what we're to be practicing. You know, if you want to be a good baseball player, you can't just walk on the field. You have to practice. You have to practice. Any athlete will tell you that. You have to practice these things that you want to do. If you want to rope, I'm not a roper. I don't rope head or heel or calves or nothing. Sorry, I never had time for that. But I have some friends that are ropers, and they're pretty good ropers. They spend a lot of time practicing. Practicing getting their horse back in the stall, practicing their release. They practice on roping heads, roping tails. They practice with one another so that they're ready when the event comes. And Christians, that's how we are to be. If you flip back to Matthew 6, Matthew 6:19 kind of talks about this a little bit. I've got that written in my Bible here by Luke 11:35, where it says, "Be dressed in readiness." And so Matthew 6:19 tells us kind of the same thing. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves don't break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so if your treasure's in your 401k, if your treasure's in your work, if your treasure's in your brand new F-350 Dually Big Hoss or your Dodge Hemi or whatever it may be, if that's where your heart is, that's where your treasure's going to be, it says. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. It goes on and says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is clear, the whole body is full of light. But if your eye is bad, the whole body is full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And then it goes on, and that, this is where we see the serving the two masters. No one can serve two masters. That includes you. That includes me. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth, says the New American Standard. Mamma, or Mamona, Greek for the Arabic mammon, wealth, is what it means. You cannot serve God and wealth. Now that doesn't mean you can't be blessed and wealthy. But we are to seek first the kingdom. We are to be ready and prepared and dressed in readiness and keeping our lamp lit . And this blesses God, and it will bless us. If you flip back, that we went from Luke to Matthew. If you go to the right, if you go over to just a little bit, over to Galatians. Kind of ties in the same way here. And Galatians is just here, just a little bit further, right after Corinthians. And Galatians 3, verse 27 says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ..." Yeah, there's that baptism again. Repentance and full immersion, water regeneration, baptism. Absolutely. Doesn't matter what your preacher says on Sunday. Let's see what the Word says. And if your preacher talks about in agreement with this, and praise God. If he doesn't, who you going to believe? Who you going to believe? Galatians 3:27. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." Goes on, says, "Neither male nor female, you're all one in Christ Jesus." When we are baptized into Christ, we are clothed with Christ. Then we go back to Luke. Then we can be dressed. How are we dressed in readiness? Well, we're clothed in Christ. We put on the full armor of God. We wear that armor. We are clothed in Christ and clothed in that full armor. And I ask you, have you put that on yet today? It's getting a little late in the day. Did you remember to put that on this morning? I hope you did. If you didn't, take a minute and put on, pray on, put on that full armor of God. You can read about it in Ephesians 6 if you're not that familiar with it. I'd encourage you to remember that, Ephesians 6, if you haven't put that on. We're told in today's Bible reading plan, Luke 12:35, to be dressed in readiness, to keep our lamps lit. You know, to keep our lamps lit, we have to make sure we have oil in our lamps. We have to make sure that we are dressed and prepared in readiness, and that we have, again, we have that oil in our lamp, so that we can be the light of the world. We hear these little catchphrases sometimes and slogans, but you know, many times in today's day and age, we try to mention that to somebody, and maybe our parents understood it, but many times the people today, they don't know the stories behind this. You know, keeping oil, be the light of the world. Keep your oil, your lamps lit, like it says here. And we are to keep our lamps lit. Well, what does that mean? Well, you can go back to Matthew 25 and read the parable of the 10 virgins, because some had oil for their lamps and some did not. And the ones that did, well, they were ready. They were ready for the bridegroom when he came. And those that didn't have that oil for their lamps, well, their lamps weren't lit. They weren't lighting the way. They weren't ready. See, none of them knew when the bridegroom was coming. And none of us know when he's coming. None of us know when we may be called upon like Ananias. Ananias, says God, and Ananias says, "Here I am, Lord, use me, send me, finally you've called, I'm ready." And God had a job for Ananias. Well, you know, God's got a job for each and every one of us. He does. And we need to be ready for that job. We need to be, as the Word says, dressed in readiness with our lamps lit. We need to have that oil of understanding and use that oil of understanding in the decisions that we make, the things that we do, the things that we don't do, the people we pray for, or if we decide, you know, them old people in South Carolina, they're full of blacks out there anyway, they don't need no prayers. And if that's the way you're going to be, well, I don't think you're going to be dressed in readiness, and I don't think you're going to have, your lamp is not lit, if that's the way you look at things. In the day and age that we live in, we need to be praying people. Now, you've heard that before from this ministry. You've heard that before from me. Be dressed in readiness and keep your lamps lit. You remember the story about the wedding feast also, the parable, that Jesus taught on? The parable of the wedding feast, when people were invited, oh, come to the feast. And then they find someone in there that didn't have the wedding garments on. And they say to him, "Brother, how did you get in here without wedding garments? How did you come to the feast? Yes, you were invited, but how did you, you're supposed to be clothed in wedding garments. How did you get in?" And it goes on and says that he was speechless. And they threw him out of the wedding feast because he wasn't dressed in readiness. Folks, I want you to be dressed in readiness. I encourage you to read all of Luke 12. It goes on, and you know, the parables that are given there, it is just, I mean, it's all red letters. It's great stuff. It absolutely is. And so I hope that that you see this in the Bible reading plan, that you are reading your Bible and doing that. Back in Galatians. So Galatians 3:27, "For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." If you drop down just a little bit in Galatians 4:9, I think this ties in. It says, we are to be known by God. And see, verse 8 says, "However, at that time when you did not know God, you were slaves to those which by nature are no gods." And that means slaves to sin. Before we knew God, we were. Whether we knew it or not, we were slaves to sin. It goes on and says, "But now," verse 9, "but now that you have come to know God," or rather to be known by God. And then it goes on and says, you know, don't turn back. Don't turn back to the ways of the flesh. Don't turn back to sitting on the fence, folks. When you've finally come off the right side of the fence and you've decided to follow Jesus, and you've decided to read your Bible and to pray, and you've decided finally to resist the devil so he'll flee, because that's what he does when you resist. But if you don't resist, he hangs around. It's as simple as that. But when we get to the point to where we resist him, he flees. So if you've come to know God, or rather, as it says here, to be known by God, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But don't turn back. Don't turn back. Now, granted, some days are better than others. Some days are better than others. Some days are easier than others. have a brother in Illinois that's just in a storm right now. Pray for Paul and for Nancy and for Parker and Paige there in Illinois. I ask you to do that, Remnant, to pray for them, to pray that God would intercede, that God would strengthen them and comfort them and be their refuge in this storm that they're in. That's been my prayer. I ask that you would pray for them as well. Because the prayers of the righteous availeth much. So I ask for your prayers, O righteous remnant. In 1 Thessalonians 5, if you flip over there, not very far away, we're right there anyway. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 1, says, "Now as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. You yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." And so we know that day of the Lord is coming. We know that there are other things that come as well, trials and tribulations, and as well as opportunities to encourage. You know, Corinthians tells us that we praise God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions. Praise God that He does that. And He does that in many ways. He uses people to come in and to direct us to a scripture verse. He will use the Holy Spirit to guide and direct us to a word in the Bible that, or a story that we read and we are comforted, we find strength in. Sometimes it's other books and other reading materials that He gives us and other people that He comforts us with. But when you read that, it says, and praise God, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our afflictions. Then there's not a period there, folks. That is so that we can comfort others in theirs. And that concept, I think, applies across a broad range of applications. We could say, praise God, the God of all blessings, who blesses us so that we can bless others, who strengthens us so we can strengthen others, who gives us wisdom and knowledge so we can give others wisdom and knowledge. I hope you're ready for that. It's part of our growing in the grace and knowledge. It's part of us being doers, being true followers of Jesus Christ. That yes, we follow in His footsteps. We follow the things that He did so that we can do the things that He did. So we can do these things today. Matthew 24:44 says, "For this reason, you be ready too." You be ready too. Be ready. Be ready. Be that workman that has studied to show himself approved. 2 Timothy 4 says again, be ready. Be ready. And we hear this. This is where it comes from. Be ready in season and out. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. We have to remember that part as well. Well, how do you know when to reprove someone, when to rebuke someone, when to exhort? Well, be ready. Study. 2 Timothy 4 goes on at verse 3, says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled." And this reminds me of that so-called church in England that just says, "Yes, we just blah, 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 blah." I can't even say it anymore. It's so sickening. But that's what they do. They babble on. "The time will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths." And so, folks, if you want a teacher that's going to teach the truth, you have to seek the truth. If you want your ears tickled, well, there's plenty of ear ticklers out there. Just turn the dial and you'll find one that'll tell you what you want to hear. Praise God. I hope you're ready. You know, back to that parable of the foolish and the wise virgins in Matthew 25, it says, the half of the virgins, and it's a parable. The virgins, of course, mean Christians. That's what it applies to. And so you could say that half the Christians did not have the oil to keep their lamp burning. So they went away. While they went away to make the purchase, here comes the bridegroom. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut, folks. That's what it says. The door was shut. If we're not ready and we think, well, I'll get ready later. Well, folks, the door might be shut then. You might not think that, but it's what the Word says. The warning is given to us. The story is here. And you say, well, I'll just get ready later. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Well, read on in Matthew 25, verse 11. Later, the other virgins came too. Later, the other Christians came too and said, Lord, Lord, open up. Oh, we're here we are. Now we're ready. He answered and said, truly, I don't know you. We don't want to be addressed in that way. We don't. So let's be ready. Let's be ready, not only for the great and terrible day of the Lord, but let's be ready to share comfort. Let's be ready to share the gospel. Let's be ready to share the good news. Let's be ready to share peace with those that are not at peace. Let's be ready to share healing with those that need healing. Let's be ready to share sound doctrine with those that need it. First Thessalonians 5, verse 11 says, therefore encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And I know that many of the remnant out there are doing that. I thank you for encouraging and building us up, for the letters and the support and the prayers that you offer for us. Know that we pray for you as well, and we thank you for that. Well, we're out of time. Join us. Come back Saturday morning. We'll have the phone lines open Saturday. Join us Saturday morning, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. on the East Coast for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll have the phone lines open. And praise God. We'll go out with a song. God bless. We praise you, Lord, this day and every day. The good times and the bad, when we're on top of the mountain, when we're down in the valley. When the sky's blue and when the storms are raging, we praise you.
I was sure by now, God, you would have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen. And it's still raining, but as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain.